that if this thing is a practically your high energy scale, the specimen breaking scale is at the DV, still the problem, still you can cancel these quadratic divergences in supersymmetric theories, and then still there is no problem. So there are two ways to solve the hierarchy, to solve the Gates hierarchy problem of the Higgs sector. Either to have string theory models, for example, which are non-supersymmetric, they have a low string scale, and there are mechanisms with large extra dimensions which actually they can lower this string scale, or wrapped models which will not actually discuss. Or of course, if there are supersymmetric models, in which case actually your string scale can be large, but this quadratic divergence disappear, and again you can solve this problem. The motivation is actually we want to get the standard model. We want three generations of quark and electron families, chiral generations. Here I have put as well right-hand neutrinos, because in all models from string for intersecting membranes, actually you get practically right-hand neutrinos. And usually, if the model is supersymmetric or non-supersymmetric, usually you want to get a non-chiral pair of Higgs in the theory. If it's a supersymmetric theory, you want to get an n=1 massless multiplets, Higgs multiplets, which actually localize these two different representations. In this case, this minimal set of Higgs is the pair of Higgs of the minimal specimen standard model. So the question is if we can get this. People up to now, from the beginning of superstring theory, they used to follow a top-bottom approach. So they started from a theory at 10 dimensions, can be the heterotic string, or can be an orbifold. They start from the heterotic string, which is compactifying in a Calabi-Yau, some kind of other compact space, could be an orbifold. And in this case, they try to get from a top-bottom approach to find what is actually on the bottom. So you're trying to get a gauge group, to break this gauge group, and eventually to get the standard model with some exotics, which in some cases they have to be massive, and examine the phenomenology. Here we'll follow a different approach in the intersecting brain constructions. Here we'll start with a bottom-up approach. So I will have a chiral configuration of fermions, which will be, let's say, in my own low energy, and I will try to embed this kind of intersections, which actually localize the different fermions in different points in space, and I will try to put this in different kind of classifications. So if I can get these Ramona von tadpoles for this configurations to cancel and in a consistent way, so I can even say that these models are perfectly realizable.
Maybe I just missed the comment. You said you want a non-minimal Higgs sector.
I hold the minima. If it's a supersymmetric model, it can be. If it's a non-supersymmetric, actually, it can be a linear compilation of this. In this case, it can be tachyonic, because practically your Higgs, the mass of the Higgs is in your electroweak symmetry breaking mechanism is negative mass square. So practically, in a non-supersymmetric model, this thing can be practically can be a tachyon. So my Higgs in a non-supersymmetric model can be a tachyon between two brains which are parallel in at least one tori. But in a supersymmetric model, it has to be massless, because there have to be a massless multiplet and realizable superpotential.
But in the
You can still get the minimal content in an overall configuration of an n=0 model. So you can have an n=0 supersymmetric model which has some sectors which respect different supersymmetry. So in this case, we can have a sector which is, I will explain actually the status, because people, they have only managed to localize this, this sector, but they have not managed to get in an overall non-supersymmetric model only the minimal and the rest of the spectrum. They have managed to get the minimal, so they know the properties of this sector, but not the rest. So I have done some progress on this, so this will appear. So which are the local configurations that I will try to embed in a string compactifications. What I will embed is practically I embed this kind of intersections. Remember that this kind of models between two intersecting brains. we can bring it if we bring it a little bit closer. I think we will get.
Yeah.
Is it better?
Yeah,
if we put.
No.
I think if we push it, we can push it a little bit. So in this case, you can see between two intersecting brains, I have one chiral fermion. So this is the original configuration with a four-stack model that can get the standard model from a non-specific construction, which actually confirmed by Banges and his students. So in this case, I have practically four stacks of brains. So I start with a U3, U2, U1, U1 on the string scale. So I have configuration with four stacks. So I have a U3, U2B, let's say. These are actually, it's they're non-specific. So I just get them in different directions, and they're actually
four different kinds
of brains. Okay. So before I speak any brains, I just have this configuration. So before, so this configuration as it is cancels Gates anomalies, cubic Gates anomalies, U1 Gates anomalies. All the anomalies cancel. Gravitational anomalies for each of the U1s, they all cancel. So this configuration by itself cancels all Gates anomalies. So what I will. You get some. I will speak to these ones. There are mixed Gates anomalies, but you. These ones, you know, you will cancel them later because it's you know, by frankly now you enter only the U1 cubic gravitational and cubic Gates anomalies, so it's practically Ramon Amont tadpoles. So these ones they cancel. So here, if I can find, so this is the condition with the four stacks. If you see here, everything comes in multiples of three. If I want to go in five stacks, I will say why I did the, actually, when I was in Madrid with my, in my postdoc position there, I did I extended this to five and six stacks, but not for a, let's say for a just, we did not do, did just for fun add an additional U1 stack. But if you can see here, this is the QCD structure. So I have the QCD structure, which is stays, which is actually has to stay stable in order to be able to solve these Ramon-Amont tadpoles for these toroidal oriental models. So here you can see the electronic sector, everything comes in multiples of three. If I spread this in different intersections, let's say, this can be done in two different ways. Either this way, either here with maximal spread. So you can see that can accommodate this kind of, let's say, spread of intersections with the leptonic and right-hand neutrinos and right-hand electrons, actually only this way. So you can add either one stack or either two stacks extra. So what happens here, in these configurations, usually you have four U1s. The three of them, they become massive because they have non-zero couplings to Ramon-Amont fields. So it's so they get massive because they have no zero couplings. There is one remaining combination which practically has some kind of it's parametrized in terms of the solutions of the Ramon-Amont tadpoles, and then you impose some constraint for this actually generator to be the hyperchart. The hyperchart comes exactly as it is. So we'll talk more about this in a moment. Here, if you add an extra U1, then you have to actually to impose supersymmetry to an intersection, so actually to the intersection where you have the right-hand neutrino, because in this case, the spare part of the right-hand neutrino is a Gates singlet. So if I have the non-supersymmetric model, and I make one sector supersymmetric, either this one, or this one, which either this one, which I have, where I have right-hand neutrinos, or this one, actually we get the same conditions, which you ever choose, and actually you create a sector with a Gates singlet in your theory, which serves as a Higgs mechanism, and breaks the fifth U1. So in this case, you can do it in two different intersections, say two different intersections that they have the right-hand neutrino, and then you get two different conditions, and the both different Gates singlets, they are charged under the extra two U1s, so they break them at some scale higher than the electroweak scale.
Are you talking about the Weinberg angle at some point?
The Weinberg angle, you can calculate it. Here is not exactly fixed here, but if you impose supersymmetry, then it's fixed. So it's if you impose supersymmetry, then it's actually you can see it's always.
Which U1 survives, right?
Yeah.
No.
Some of these U1s they are getting massive. So usually one compilation is massless. This compilation actually has a lot of there are some parameters that are involved in this combination. So there is no fixing. The last fixing you can do, you know, you have to actually impose that this combination is the hyperchart, and you get an extra constraint in the your Ramon-Amont tadpole parameters, which they solve these conditions. You will see it in a moment. So still, you get practically you go finally after the finally to go to one equation with two parameters. So it's practically you still have two free parameters, which is actually just an equation, so like a diophantic equation with two parameters, which is.
So you don't get a
prediction. You can get predictions, yeah, because you have to choose practically the numbers. You can, yes, for specific Rapping numbers, you have to actually the allowed Rapping numbers are specific. I mean, it's you cannot do whatever you like. So what if you choose two Rapping numbers here? The rest ones they will be determined in terms of tadpole conditions, the extra conditions. So practically you get. Prediction for the sun square. But of course, there's no unification here, it's not supersymmetric.
So
for supersymmetric models, you get a prediction and unification.
Do you get the 3/8 or
You get 3/8. You get 3/8. This one is you get 3/8. You get 3/8. I will say how you get this 3/8.
And when you say 5/7 to 6/7, there are many different ways to choose the 6.
Yeah. Of course, these configurations can be embedded in models with DeFi brains. So. With this, there is a yes. If it's a specimetric mode, if it's an equal source specimetric mode, of course you can go. You always translate this to the dual. Of course, there are still the dual models with the 95s. Okay, it will be usually it's the 95s, but certainly you can do D3D7. Certainly, it's specimetric, you can do easily D3D7. So I mean, it's because you have different orbital planes, and then yeah, of course, Actually, it has been done with D3D7 with intersecting brains of fluxes. So it's practically, which is exactly what you did, but with the second brain of like, so it's there are some more possibilities there, so we can discuss. So the approach we will follow is practically that we'll look at type 1 models. In type 1 models, the string scale is a free parameter. So in principle, if you have the dimensions, the extra dimensions transverse to your brain, you can lower your string scale down to the TV. So this is the mechanism that Donianis, Arkady, Hamidopoulos and Valley. They did it for these three brains originally, but if you have the works the same way either for the threes or the sevens. Of course, the models that I will actually explain here, they are these six brain models. So practically my brains wrap all over the six dimensional space. So in this case, I cannot solve the Gates hierarchy problem, but with this kind of models, but I can solve with D5s. You will see it in a moment. And the approach, but I will explain it because historically all the necessary ingredients to understand this kind of models comes from D6, the second D6 brain models. So it's better to know these ones because then you can apply this to D5 models or D3, D7. So the approach will be, we want to construct three generation models. I have a number of intersection numbers that are the initial constraint in my theory. So you have to find solutions of solutions which satisfy the intersection number constraints and unravelable tuples. Of course, I want this kind of models to have a stable proton, which means that the U1 generator which corresponds to the baryon, number has to be gauged, which means it has to have a non-zero coupling. Let's say if it's, for example, it's the QA generator, the first one, which corresponds to SU3, the U1 which corresponds to the U3 gauge group, this generator must have a non-zero coupling to a unravelable field so it can be massive. If it's massive, then you know it's practically the associated global symmetry survives to low energy and baryon number is stable. So there are no practically baryon number violating processes. Usually it can be done this, when you have by fundamentals. So when you have by fundamentals, usually it's gauged, and you have a stale proton. There are UL mixing gauge anomalies here. This will be cancelled by actually a version of Gris-Vance mechanism, which is dimensional reduction to low energy. So if these couplings of the UL fields to Ramonamon fields to the Ramonamon fields, practically this serve as a Gris-Vance mechanism that they cancel these UL gauge anomalies. Cubic gauge anomalies, of course, they are cancelled by unravelable tadpoles. And of course, some of these models, if you actually impose equal source specimetry, you can fix a complex structure moduli, at least some of them. So this is the outline. We start with actually non-specimetric models. These are toroidal antifolds. This is actually what has been done. This is the original models by Banyos, Rotesano, Rabadan. This is the 5 and 6 stack that I did with the Max plus Platon intersections. So these are the only existing models with the standard model at low energy. Actually, here they are actually Patissala models, so it's a gut-like models which actually they break the standard model at low energy. And you can show that all exotics they become massive. Of course, in this case, the models are only realistic if the string scale is low. Actually, you get a constraint of some kind of particles because they get a suppressed mass. You get a mass which is, you have the order of the mass. And only if the string scale is below 1.2 TeV is realistic. The model could be, in principle, realistic. But of course, these models are in contradiction with the Antonianis Arkady Hammer mechanism because you cannot lower the string scale. So here, in principle, according to this geometrical mechanism, the string scale to this kind of model is high. Because practically your D6 brains, they wrap all over the six dimensional space. So If you want, of course, to solve the gauge hierarchy problem, then you go to models with defined brains. Here you have a different compact space. You have an order singularity here. Here there are, here actually you can get four, five, six stack models. Here the main result is actually you get by brain. Actually, you can, from each one of these constructions with the four, five, and six stacks, again with maximal spread, again we localize the previous kind of configuration, even in this even in this actually high energy theories. So I localize again this this localized standard model configurations. In this case, of course, in this case with the five and six stack models of defined brains, practically by recompiling the extra U1s before, let's say, from the fourth, the five, or the six U1, whatever compilation of them, for example, if I compile the five and the six U1, I break the gate symmetry. Practically, this U1 breaks to U1 to the diagonal. So in this case, I get the five stack model which I saw you before. So practically, by recompiling U1s, actually, you saw this even here. You get Ramon-Ramon homology flows. Actually, everything works well in homology. So if you calculate again. So here, if you recompile practically your sixth and fifth U1, you go to this configuration with Ramon. If you calculate your Ramon-Ramon, let's say your Ramon-Ramon tadpoles through the sum of homology classes, you go from one of this class to this one. And here, actually, if you can do this, if recompile practically the DNL leaf brains, both for the fifth and the sixth brain, then I can go to the fourth one. So I can, or from here I can go there. So it's practically this brain compilation mechanism, more or less described by string field theory. It's not only at small angles you can show this thing. So, and actually, the talk is practically two parts. The first part was the non-specimetric model. So here, even if, always you construct, you cannot construct specimetric models in this construction. Always you have non-specimetric models. If you have an orbifold, in principle, if you can find the wrappings, it could be possible to construct supersymmetric models. In this case, the only constructions actually that exist is actually only non-specimetric model. There is a standard model which was originally constructed by the Berlin group, which was missing one coupling from the U-quarks. Here, all the couplings exist, so that's the only that's the difference practically. And in this case, actually, you construct SU5 and flipped SU5 models. There are no SU5 or flipped SU5 models to this kind of constructions. And of course, the second part will be how we try to construct the minimal specimen standard model. There are two ways to construct the minimal specimen standard model, to try to get a minimal specimen standard model, either from an L equals zero construction, so it's practically a toroidal oriented pole like the one which was on the top with the original standard model construction. And in this case, with the toroidal oriented pole, you get practically, you have one sector of your theory which has N equals one specimetry. This is your minimal model. You have to find the rest of the spectrum, which actually not only is massive, but still satisfies your tadpole equations. So, in this case, it's not known how to calculate, let's say, the rest of the spectrum. You know how to localize your standard model. You know that this configuration is practically anomaly free. You have the general solution, let's say, of your tadpoles, but of course you cannot go, you cannot constrain further your theory because you know the rest of the spectrum. This is an open issue, but I have actually realized that actually you get some good constructions with gate symmetry breaking, and this will appear, which is actually people they invented it in 85, died, and others invented, Dimopoulos, Saskin, I think they were working. They were using this kind of supergravity models and actually get them here. Of course, the more traditional construction is to construct directly the N equals 1 model from an N equals 1 construction, which means I have a construction which every particle in this theory is N equals 1 specimetry, practically respects the same supersymmetry. This specimetry is actually a supersymmetry that they preserve in relation with the oriental plane. In this case, there are different constructions. The original construction by Zvetnik, Zero, Raga with Z2 cross the two orientifolds, which they constructed the first supersymmetric models in this kind of intersecting brain constructions. But of course, there the main problem is that you get a lot of chiral map, a lot of chiral exotics which are massless, survive massless low energy. So if they survive massless low energy, your model is not realistic. There were a lot of attempts to construct more realistic models for these constructions, but they all actually have they have not materialized up to now. There are different constructions in different groups, of course. In some of them, I must say that in this construction, you can get a minimal specimen standard model if you brain recombine. If you brain recombine, you can actually go to the minimum. But if you brain recombine, you don't have a field theoretical interpretation. So this is not considered as realistic. If you start brain recompiling from every construction, you can get actually to your minimal, but it doesn't mean anything. You must have a full theory with a complete superpotential. You can write couplings so you can follow all the field theory directions, and then everything is looks realistic. What I will describe by the end is that there's a generalization I was working. This work has finished, so it's generalization with the three cross the three. Here the complex moduli are fixed by the lattice of your theory. You don't have here to fix the dilator, because practically the model is specimenting your Navus-Vance Stratford cancel, so your dilator can be anywhere. So this kind of models are close to the models with fluxes in some way. Of course, these models that I will present, they have only the minimal specimen standard model, so they have only U3, U2, U1 gauge group. They don't have an extra hidden sector. If you add hidden sectors, then in principle, you can, if you have a confining hidden sector, like an SP gauge group, we can actually realize here easily. In principle, you can have non-perturbative superpotentials by gauging condensation and fixing principle color moduli. Of course, this doesn't mean that your cosmological constant will be the minimum, it will be realistic. In principle, you don't know what will happen in this case, and if you manage to fix all color moduli. Of course, I will finish with open problems of future direction. The main idea in intersecting brain models is practically to have two brains intersecting at angles, and between these two angles I must have an open string stretching between these two brains. So if I have, let's say, U3 brain and U2 brain, practically this transforms by fundamental 3-2 bar. So practically this can be a quark. This is actually the kind of configurations that I was showing you here. Here I can have two, practically I have a multiplicity 2. So this multiplicity is described by a number which is practically the intersection number. This number is topological, so it does not depend. It's always it's fixed practically by the wrapping numbers of your brains. Here I can have for a square, right? So here I say that I choose to have a six-dimensional space which can be a decomposable 3-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2- Here I have a braid which wraps once across this direction and once across this direction. So this is my electric wrapping. This is my magnet. Here I have different. So for the intersection numbers are actually products of this. Actually, the diagonal product of this one. So it's actually this one minus the cross product of this one. So here this is a product along the three different directions. And usually, if I get my wrapping numbers with integer wrappings. Something like that, I can get if I choose the wrapping set of the U3 braid and the U2 braid to be like that, I can have multiplicity 3. In different places, what that space do you? Different kinds of different places. The couple tool of it. Practically, you have only massless, chiral matter and gauge field. So that's. All the extra stuff is massive. If you want to have supersymmetry, of course, if you have two different set of braids, usually this set of braids, they break all supersymmetry because actually the two different sets they have different supersymmetries. Of course, the fermion spectrum you get is practically either it's a massless fermion, and then you have a tower of different Higgs particles. These are the lowest order scalars. These angles practically they are given in terms of the magnetic wrappings and the radii of that ori across the vertical direction, and this is across the horizontal. And if you want to impose supersymmetry, then in this case practically any one of these choices is good for n equals all supersymmetry. So whatever choice you choose, the corresponding scalar becomes massless, and you have n equals all supersymmetry in the intersection. And this is a general condition for one choice of these angles. So the rest of the stuff can become massless and have n equals all supersymmetry. Usually, if you impose for one choice of signs, one of them always becomes massless and the rest are massive. The Roy DeLorean fools that actually they have the standard model is practically D9 brains with magnetic fluxes, which is after you perform a T-duality along the vertical directions, they transform to D brains intersecting at angles, and which is the ones that we'll examine. Because practically you have orient fold in the theory, there's just one orient fold. I choose the orient fold to be across only the horizontal direction. These are non-specimenic models. I must get not only the ramp numbers of not only my brains, but I must take into account the orient fold images of my brains. So practically my spectrum in this case, if this is my A brain, I must take into account this is the mirror image with respect to the orient fold plane. So if this is NM, the orient fold image which is across this direction is N minus N. So M is across the magnetic line. So my spectrum is coming by taking the omega R and variant combinations, which is where omega is a goal since priority is well known. This is a different sector in your theory. Here I can see that I have sectors which I can have symmetrics and asymmetrics. So if I want the standard model, this is a constraint in the theory from the beginning. I must put that this both these two constraints are zero. So I don't have any exotics in my theory for a standard model. For a GATT model, this can be non-zero. So for a standard model, it has to be zero. The second constraint, the first constraint is not to have any exotics, so I put this to zero. The second constraint is actually cancellation of Ramon-Ramon tadpoles for this toroidal orient folds. This is my orient fold, the orient fold charge of the orient fold. In this case, now that I allow not only for practically for orthogonal tori, but for tilde tori. In this case, I have a discrete B field, Lagrange B field in my theory, and my magnetic wrappings actually now they get actually fractional numbers. So in this case, if I don't have this discrete B field, I have only integer wrappings. But if I want my tori to be tilded, then in this case, I can have here fractional wrappings, which are actually given by this compilation. So in this case, I can choose. You will see in a minute the example. I can choose my one of the tori, for example, to be tilted, and this will help me actually to get three generations of models. If you can see here, I don't have only bifundamentals between the brain and the B brain, but I can have bifundamentals between the brain A and the rainfall limits of the B brain. So all of them they count together. If you have to count all of them. Which is your spectrum. But of course, as I tell you, the spectrum is fixed from the beginning. So this is the four-stack model originally constructed by Banzer and his students. So everything comes with multiplicity of three. This is a special structure which actually you need to solve the tadpoles. If you take that three, you cannot solve it. You cannot get this kind of models which actually break the standard model at low energy. As non-specimetric, if it's specimetric, still you can make everything comes with three. But for a non-specimetric model, you cannot solve the tadpoles like that. In this case, actually, the hypercharge of this configuration is this one. So in this case, before I start speaking about string theory, I have a configuration which actually, if my hypercharge, if I could find some string theory which has this kind of hypercharge, it will give me actually this kind of standard model. But without actually discussing any string theory, this kind of table with the four stacks of these six brains has this kind of hypercharge. So this is a standard model, a perfectly realizable low energy standard model with this hypercharge. So if I solve the tadpole conditions before discussing tadpole conditions, let's discuss what are the different U1 fields in this case. This U1 field is the baryon number. This practically, this is my baryon number. This is the lepton number is practically minus QD. You can see here is the minus this number is the lepton number. These symmetries are gauged, so they have non-zero couplings on Ramon-Ramon fields. So these are actually survive as global symmetries in low energies, which means that I don't have a proton decay, and I don't have proton decay. And since I have right-handed quarks, I can make Dirac terms for the left-handed neutrinos. So I can make a Dirac for the neutrinos. So I can make a Dirac term, so I utilize the practically my right-hand neutrinos as a Dirac term, I can have a perfectly neutrinos in my theory. Of course, there are some other symmetries which actually are not actually usable, but if you solve your Ramon-Ramon tadpoles, and actually, if you examine the couplings of the U1 fields to your Ramon-Ramon, of your U1 FR generators, your Ramon-Ramon fields, you can see that three combinations of U1, they get massive. And one survived massless. What survived massless is this one. Actually,
so the baryon is stable because of the U1 charge, but that U1 charge is now being broken.
This U1 charge practically is coupled to these Ramon-Ramon fields. so this is a mass generation mechanism. It has a zero, a non-zero coupling to this
right,
number.
Right, right. So the proton stability was because of this U1
which is now broken. Which, yeah, you cannot say broken. Yeah, it's gate, so it's massive. Yeah. So this symmetry survives. So there are no proton decay coupling.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It's exactly stable. Yeah, yeah. The global symmetry survives. So the global symmetry, if you the global symmetry survives because this does not get broken at all because it's already massive. It doesn't break from the Higgs mechanism at intermediate scale. It's already massive at the same scale.
But you're using a symmetry which is not.
It's
gate.
Non-perturbative effects always can broken. It can always broke. But perturbatively, yeah. Non-perturbatively, yes, of course. In this case, you can see, for example, here, the tadpoles are solved in this way. So these are the tadpoles solutions. So I have some parameters here. And if I actually see which is actually the U-as which survives, actually at the low energies, the U-as which survives is this one. So in this case, I can see actually I have a number of parameters here. These are free parameters. So I haven't fixed these ones. This beta 2, beta 1 is practically plus minus 1/2. So this parameter shows exactly if my lattice is practically orthogonal or tilted. So if it's 1/2, it's tilted. So in this case, I have this is generated. So I have one parameter, three parameters. This is 1/2 or 1. Can be
either. They're all
discrete parameters. Yes. So at this level, you don't know what it is. But of course, if this generator has to be the hypercharge, which is up here, then in this case, the hypercharge. This in this case, we get an extra condition on one of the parameters. So practically, we get with two parameters left unfixed. But this is not a problem because practically. Your Ramonable tadpole conditions give you one more condition here. They give you this condition. So you get have another condition here. So if you take them into account, you start taking, let's say, if you start fixing the first one, then everything comes out by itself. So you cannot do whatever you like. If you fix the first one, there's another one fixed by the hypercharge, and then you get the LC, which doesn't appear here, and then you have to fix only the LD. So it's you don't have a lot of choices, so actually even your size square will go to a specific point. No, no, it doesn't depend at all. Yeah, there's no exactly. It doesn't matter at all to this kind of models, but it will matter that this degeneracy that actually can play with this, it will matter if you have extra U-as that you want actually to break them, or if you want to impose supersymmetry. If you want to make this model supersymmetric, then you have to actually constrain, then you get constraints on the, practically on the ratios of, the, of your complex, you actually fix the complex, some of the complex structures, because yeah, you get extra conditions. So. But at this level, you want to get only the standard model. You're not interested to get a specific model in which you break it. But of course, you can play with the parameters to see if it allows to get what kind of supersymmetries. For this kind of models, you can get supersymmetric models where each intersection respects different supersymmetry. So overall, there are misaligned supersymmetries. So overall, it's broken. You don't care about the value of the gauge coupling because at this level, is after you fix. You can examine it, in both ways. You can run your gauge coupling, but of course, what you will choose for your gauge coupling depends on your wrapping numbers, which here. So practically, I haven't maybe I should write.
Well, it also depends on the scatter model.
Just so again, yeah,
the question.
Of course, yes. Actually, my gauge coupling is something like here. I have a product. Say alpha 3. So here I have something which is my, let's say, so this is product of, so you have something which is, wraps over cycles, anything. So here if you want to have the gauge coupling, how big can be, you can see, you can get ratios here. So if I get a different ratio of the gauge couplings here, I can say, if I get the R1 here, I can get a ratio here of the gauge coupling, and then if I divide, so I can get the rest of the gauge caps, I can get the size square. So There you can see if you, for example, a sine square which can be 3/8 is allowed by, maybe it's not allowed by the allowed wrappings of your theory, but you can actually make the ratio and see what happens. If it's a, if it's a five-stack model, so then in this case you have to actually, even if the model is non-supersymmetric, then you actually spread along beyond the QCD structure. And in this case, actually, in order to break the extra U1, because I remember I told you this is a I have five U1s here. So this configuration that I constructed, actually that I imposed at low energy, that I have to actually localize inside the string theory compactification, actually has this hyperchance. So I spread the intersections over the QCD structure. I have a structure which is like that, cancels cubic gates anomalies and gravitational anomalies. And in this case, if you have a problem, because actually you have five U1s, three of them usually they get massive by this Grease mass mechanism, they have non-zero couplings. One is the hyperchance, and I have a fifth one. But there is no mechanism here that they can break this extra U1. The only way is actually to impose supersymmetry in this or this intersection. So you have an extra Higgs mechanism, it can be below the string scale or at the string scale. In this case, this gate singlet actually breaks its charge at the extra U1 and breaks it. In this case as well, actually, you have the baryon number is again realizable in the, actually as the one-third of the U1 generator. You have the lepton number, which is actually the sum of this DLE, the fourth and fifth U1s. And in this case, the model predicts not only that you have a, actually you can have a minimal configuration of, let's say, with the standard model, either with the standard model at four stacks, or either with the standard model and actually a superparton of the right-hand neutrino. So you don't need anything else to realize the standard model. So this is what the models actually predict, in principle, up to now, if it will be realizable. If you try to solve these tadpole conditions, you get they satisfy tadpole conditions in intersection number, you get you get this kind of wrappings. Here, so the kind of constraints that I have in this kind of configuration is the Ramonaco tadpoles. I get just one condition from them, which is this is the rainfall chart. These are different parameters. So practically, my parameters are this one. So these are the five parameters of my theory. All the rest are, these are faces. This is plus one half. This is plus one half. So I have five parameters practically, which is here, 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 and here. So I get one condition from here. I get a second condition from the hyperchance. So I'm left with three. And then I have a gauge symmetry breaking condition, which is after I impose supersymmetry to the intersection with the right-hand neutrino. And then I get, so I have two free parameters practically, which practically they satisfy one equation, so it's easy to actually to solve it. So here I get a condition of the complex structure, for example, between the second and third ori. So this is what actually we get to this kind of models. Because these models, if it's a GATT model, quickly, you have a configuration something like that. Here you have to impose supersymmetry in more intersections so you can get a gauge signal. It's more complicated. You must have extra brains here in order to satisfy the tadpoles. This kind of extra brains, which I didn't put them here, they have non-zero intersections with some of these brains which are already present. And so these are some hidden brains. And in this case, they can add extra particles in the theory. You have to impose supersymmetry even on these intersections. So you get extra conditions on this, which in some cases are equivalent. And what appears here is that this kind of conditions of the extra brains to be supersymmetric is exactly equivalent to your to the conditions that you get from these U1s, which becomes massive from the Grease mass mechanism. So practically here the general result is that if you impose supersymmetry on extra brains with the satisfied tadpoles, the conditions you get are exactly the same that from the orthogonality of these U1s. So these U1s, which the hyperchance when it becomes massive gives you some conditions. You get exactly the same conditions when you get imposed supersymmetry on this intersection. So you get some equivalence of between the some kind of correspondence between the n equals 1 supersymmetry that actually imposed on this intersection and the Grease mass mechanism of the U1s get equivalent conditions, but only after you impose supersymmetry.
Right.
U3, U4, U2, U2 plus UAD.
Oh, there's an extra U1.
The extra U1.
This
is under, so this is U4, so it says U4, U1, so this is U4.
Also, there's an extra U.
There's an extra U.
U1 cubed or U1
This is UL4th, but here, you know, you, because you put U4 as U2 left as U2 right. So
yeah, I don't know, but there's an extra.
Is there an extra? There's a fourth. There's a fourth stack. Yeah, fourth
okay,
one.
Okay, I thought there was only three.
No, there is a fourth one. There's a fourth one. Yeah.
No, I got confused by the doublets.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, these doublets, the only massless ones, they have to be these ones. So this everything which is here, because here I have my quarks and leptons. Here is the anti-quark, it's the anti-quarks, the anti-leptons. This representation. So all this this is the difficulty to have to construct a gut here. Because all these massless fermions, they have to, there must be couplings in the theory that they give them mass. So if they are known, there must be couplings, you know, which are allowed by Gage invariants and charge conservation of the UALs, which actually, they are not zero. So they are practically coupled to Higgs, which is, they get the VEVs, so which are actually, which are Gage singlets. If they are not, actually, the theory is, it didn't go anywhere. In this case, practically, you can show, if you solve the tuples in a specific way, this is only where you get this kind of actual imbalances. So it's depending on how you solve your tuples, and actually that you get your couplings, because practically if you cannot the way you solve the tuples actually can introduce more particles in your theory. Remember that here I must have exotics. So in the gut theory, I have exotics. So if this exotics here is something which is, can be a 12 or a 50 representation, there's no way you can make in principle you can make, but usually has to be something which is a low representation so you can make these couplings. So here you can get some couplings for the doublets. There are some weak doublets in the theory that they get always the weak doublets in this kind of models, they get a low mass. So if you have weak doublets, they get a low mass, which is practically this of the electroweak scale. So unless your string scale is below 1.2 TeV, actually you can impose that this V square over MS is bigger than 100 GeV, which is actually the lowest constraint experimentally to have charged the particles. So below 100 GeV, you know it's only the standard model. So whatever exists, 104, I think, something like that. So whatever exists below GeV has to be absent. So every particle which is charged beyond the standard model has to be over 100 GeV. So in this case, you get that the string scale is below 1.2 GeV. So if I impose this 100 GeV, bigger than 100 GeV, I get a phenomenological constraint. Of course, it's not a geometrical constraint. So this is actually telling you that these models are realizable if only the string scale is low. If it's high, you know, this V square over MS goes to 1 dV, which is like a quark or, so it's like an SU2 doublet with it has a mass which doesn't look realistic.
In our tiny envelope, it requires exactly two arguments, is that right, or
can it be more? You build this mechanism with extra dimensions, they can build more. If there are D3 brains, there can be six of them. But if there are D5s, they can. I have it, next. It's the vertical space. So in this case, practically, this is a contradiction with this mechanism, the geometrical, because you don't have extra, so you cannot lower in principle geometrically, keep your Planck scale at 10 to the 19, and lower the string scale to the TeV. But of course, the model by itself is telling you that it cannot be realistic if the string scale is high. Of course, this kind of models are on the other side, Candy Harmony, Moomles, and Valley. Actually, this mechanism, the geometrical relation between the Planck scale and the scale of the type 1 theories, is actually works only for extra dimensions. Here, of course, these guys, they will tell you that these models, they have a high string scale, so they're not realistic. But actually, your theory by itself, you know, it cannot be realistic if the string scale is low. So this is a contradiction with the existing status of extra dimensions. But of course, if you want to be, in this case, if you want to be practically in so the extra dimensional scenario, usually you have some kind, you have the gravitational sector, you have your you have your closed ring sector, you have actually your brain, your world seat, actually your parallel to your brains, you have actually your space here with your D3 brains, D5, D6 or whatever brains, and actually you compactify to four dimensions, you get a relation between practically your Planck scale and your extra dimensional scale. So this this volume is actually the volume of the transverse dimensions to your brains, which tell you that this is fixed. So this is practically your string coupling can be fixed, has to be weak. So in this case, you can see this is your string scale. So in this case, you can see that in order to keep this large, practically, this low, this has to be large. So, in my models, I don't have this space. So I cannot practically justify how I lower my string scale and increase this. So this is like a constant thing. So in principle, this has to be high, since I cannot actually practically move this. In the models with D6 brakes, which were historically constructed. But of course, you can go to models with D5s. And these are the only examples that can realize in compact models this extra dimensional scenario. So you go to this kind of type 2B models, T4 over C over ZL. So you have quivers here. Here you have two different kinds of configurations. You can get actually the car, you realize exactly the standard model configurations of practically that I showed you before. So these low energy configurations, this is the one that exactly embed here. So I embed exactly the same configurations here with this device. And of course, still satisfy tadpoles, still get consistent conditions with the constraints. In this case, again, you can show that you can still get these homology flows, which actually you break the gate symmetries and without changing the chiral content. And such kind of transitions they have been shown only, you know, in the, with small instant transitions only with Lem theory. There you can get practically gate symmetry breaking transitions, but of course they are not perturbative. Here they look more or less like perturbative transitions, but of course you cannot describe them with some field theory mechanism. And, this is exactly the same result. Here, if you recompile the U1s which are beyond practically the ones that they realize, for example, the Higgs mechanism here is realizable between the B and C brain, so it's the U2 U1 brain. So whatever U1 is beyond this U1s with the charge or Higgs, this break your gate symmetries. So they localize, and actually they realize this brain recombination homology flow. You see this in a graph, so it's more or less like a quiver. So you can see here is actually your brains. Here are the bifundamentals realizable in the spectrum between the brains. Here you can see the different non-zero intersection numbers that exist between these different models with D5s. So here I can have the 4 stack, and here you can see the recombination. So if I have the 6 stack and I recompile 2 of them, so this is the 4th and the 6th, I get something which is, gives me the 5 stack, and I can do it in all the ways around. So it's practically here I have the bifundamentals and the U1 stack. So you can see actually how this works. Now if you want to go to orbifolds, they are the only what has been actually known for gut models in orbifolds is actually how to identify Higgs's. Several people try to do something here to construct SU5 or flip the SU5. These models are not specimenic, so they have still a problem with your Gates sector. You don't solve the Gates hierarchy problem with your Higgs sector, so this can be large. But of course, it was the first attempt was attempted by the Berlin group, Luz Blumenhagen and the students, to realize SU5 models. They couldn't get exactly the electroweak Higgs is how they can could become realizable in this kind of models. Then Ellis and Anopoulos and Candy try to get models with they break to low energy, to the standard model low energy, but they get a lot of exotics. So we actually shown that this kind of models, even with a minimal context, there is a way to identify the electroweak and gut Higgs. So this more or less that we can do in this kind of constructions. The model is not specific, so it's not perfect, but still you can identify actually which are the baryon number is not concerned. So this is the coupling that Klebanov and Whittle actually calculated, not this one, but exactly this one. They calculated for an SU5, for a hypothetical, let's say realistic SU5 model, which comes from a Z2 cross Z2 construction, which is the ones that Svetik, Zivin, and Raga did. What we did in this kind of Z3 construction, these are Z3 orientables. So for this, as you flip the U5 models, which actually break the standard model at low energy, but they have a problem with the Higgs sector because they are not specific. Actually, we found which are the couplings that actually they could realize baryon decay for a flip the U5 or for an SU5 model. Actually, we didn't go to calculate the proton decay amplitude because practically you will get the same factors. So you will not get get some different chiralities between the fermions, but practically you will get the same structure. So it's actually comes that it's stable if your string scale is beyond 10 to the 16 GeV. This is the result of Klebanov and Whittle. They looked from a different point of view from the quantification, could go from an M theory practically to 4 dimensions, but actually this is the main amplitude with the strongest corrections that they got. So this is the practically the disk amplitude which exists. Going to the here, you actually realize double, triple splitting in this case for a Flinders U5 model, but it doesn't matter to your low energy. You can still actually solve your because practically what you have baryon decay. What Witten did actually they calculate the proton decay amplitude, but in this case you have gauge radiation, so you have gauge bosons which they mediate your operators. If you want to have if you have some gauge gut theory, which actually has proton decay, you have two problems in your high energy from your proton decay modes which are allowed. Either you have proton decay modes which actually they have gauge mediation, so they can be solved, let's say, by having your string scale high. So this is what the Klebanoff and Witten considered in the amplitude. They consider that the string scale is high, so your proton decay, your proton is stable. But then you have a different decay modes, which are practically they are scalar mediated, so you can have the color scalars which mediate this kind of proton decay interactions. And in this case, you have to show that your triplet scalars, which are present in the theory, are actually large. So you have to show actually double, triple splitting in this case. Of course, if the model is supersymmetric, then you have not have any problem, because then you solve the gauge higher problem. Go to the last part. I'll be quick here. Here we have the, you can get the minimal supersymmetric standard model either from a construction which is overall, as I was telling you, non-supersymmetric. So I can get in a part of this construction a supersymmetric sector which has only the minimal supersymmetric standard model. And I can have other sectors with different supersymmetries. They are actually supersymmetric breaking sectors. But the model overall has to be non-supersymmetric. Or these are toroidal orientables. There are some works here by me as well. What is not known is the extra sector, but I told you I have a work on this, so this thing will appear. And here, which is the main problem to construct supersymmetric models, to go to n equals 1 construction, which practically every particle respects the same supersymmetry. This is a supersymmetric construction. Here, there are a lot of attempts. There's a 2 cross the 2 ones that I told you originally. The main problem in this kind of constructions is actually that you get a lot of non-chiral massless, chiral massless exotics. What I did will appear, it's actually, I generalized there's a 2 cross the 2 cross the 2 cross the 3 cross the 3. Here I have different orientable plates, which actually you have to cancel this charge in order not to have the gravitational overlay, so you introduce a Ramona Mont tadpoles, your brains in the theory in different directions. Here you cancel tadpoles. The tadpoles, they look more difficult than the, practically than the, what is Z2 cross Z2 or the toroidal orientables. But if you, when you see the spectrum, you will see that the spectrum is much easier because everything factorizes. So practically the rules are assumed that everything factorizes, so I can construct the chiral spectrum is practically this rule. So I have effective wrappings. These wrappings, they satisfy the tadpoles. So here I have effective wrappings, which is completely easy. These are non-chiral. These are adjoints, which practically, has been shown that all adjoints, all sectors which actually they have adjoints n equals 4 supersymmetry, they get massive from loops. The only problem is actually to get from this kind of the chiral spectrum to get actually everything in the massless, which the only massless spectrum has to be the, let's say, the minimal supersymmetry standard model or some extension of it. All the rest of the chiral matter has to be massive. Here we can have exotics. The result is that you can get the minimal supersymmetry standard model at 3 stacks. So this is the spectrum that you get. You get exactly the standard model. This is the standard model supersymmetry. So this is the spectrum of the standard model which is supersymmetrized with 3 Rd neutrinos. I don't have any Higgs here. But if you want to have the minimal, you get 3 pairs of the n equals 1 massless multiplets of the actually of your minimal supersymmetry standard model. These are the minimal supersymmetry standard model Higgs's. I get 3 pairs of this. In addition, I get color exotics, which actually they are non-chiral. And actually, this one, they get massing from couplings in the superpotential. So here, you can see there are mass terms, Dirac mass terms. So there's coupling for everything here. These are the usual, the mu term, which solves supposed to be the mu problem. It's always there in all the models. You can see couplings here. For example, here is couplings for the d quarks, and here for the up quark. Here is for the particle for your d quarks. Here is for your leptons. And I can see here d quarks. this thing has not, must not be here. This is not invariant, so it's probably a mistake. So the only problem with this model is that you get masses for all the for everything which is here in your minimum specific standard model, even for the extra exotics. This is the main problem with existing in the. But of course, I don't get a coupling for the U quark. So this is all the only disadvantage of this thing. But this is a progress because practically, if you see the models and the building constructions that the people have worked on this kind of intersecting debris models, usually you get pages of massless exotics so that people even don't bother to write them down, most of them. Here you get some more symmetric condition. You get less exotics, smaller number of exotics, and you get a massive. And this is what you get on three stacks. In this case, you can vary the wrapping numbers along the third brain, and actually you can actually get rid of them, so they disappear from the spectrum. So you have an n equals one model which doesn't have Higgs multiplets. In this case, you can actually still make some multiplets massless, but you have to use brain compilation. From an n equals two sector, massive sector, which is actually not something which you will like. It's something which is realizable as a topological mechanism, but not something which is actually acceptable as a field theory mechanism. This kind of models, you can go, if you go to four stacks, the new constructions, then these models have a problem. Still, you don't have a coupling for the new quark, but here you can get. Instead of getting two different fields, which practically they get massive, as in the three stacks, here I get four. Usually you come with four. But there you can see immediately that the problem that this theory is rejected out by experiment. In these models, my strength scale is high. I don't have dimensions transverse to the brain, they are supersymmetric, but it's high. So it's over 10 to the 16 GeV, because even my proton is not stable. So it has to be over close to the Planck scale in order for this model to be realizable. But here you can see a mass term for this extra singlet, extra practically singlet, charged singlet. Here you can see that this is V square over MS. I get the same suppression factor that I was getting for the weak doublets in the guts, in the non-specimen guts. If you put 10 to the 16 GV here, you get something which is very low. So it can be 1 EV or something, looks like a neutrino. So this model, it's you immediately realize it's not really, it cannot be realistic. So it's go to the conclusions now. So I told you how you construct non-specimetric models from say toroidal oriented folds or Z3 oriented folds. Here there are open problems, for example, how you construct other guts from non-specimetric models. So you construct guts which practically, they are in non-specimetric models, but individually they are supersymmetric. So you can, in this case, it has been shown that if you have the particle content of the minimal specific standard model, and you run it to high energy, with this kind of constructions, they get 3 8s, and I was telling you, you can still get unification to the 10 to the 16 GeV, with allowing different wrappings. The wrappings, they do allow it. Of course, here you have to actually to satisfy the tadpoles and to find the extra sectors so the model overall will be non-specimetric, but will have specimetric sectors. In this case, this model can be perfectly realizable as long as the string scale is high. You can do even string calculations. The main thing is that in the specimetric models, I can calculate string amplitudes. This is why I was actually following this approach. So if you find a model which is perfectly realizable with a realizable superpotential with couplings of all the particles in your theory, then you can do string amplitudes and calculate exactly which are actually the masses of these particles. Actually, it might be unfixed moduli, but this moduli, as I told you, the complex structure is fixed. Dilaton, you don't have to fix at this level. Only, of course, if you break supersymmetry, but in this case, actually, if you get zero condensation gauge group factors, in this case, even color moduli could be involved and be non-trivial dynamics. Of course, what is open, the progress was that I showed you today with the Z3 cos Z3 models is actually you can get massive this non-chiral matter that was the main problem. You had minimal chiral matter, so might be this Z3 cos Z3 construction might be a good way to construct general gap models with hidden sectors, because practically you don't get extra chiral matter, extra exotics, which actually are infinite in number or are huge. You get only minimal number of them, which are countable. And of course, there are more directions which are go beyond, which involve intersecting brains, and actually they involve the Navusvats, Navonamon fluxes, the ones that people have been working here. In this case, there are more possibilities actually to make constructions that actually they have intersecting brains and fluxes. Still, you know, there are some possibilities more, and of course, there's some work. Going on along this level. Of course, there are some more possibilities, of course, to go to localize this kind of configuration that I was showing you before. This has not been done. Only the four-stack model has been realized by Uraga and his student. Here, actually, we can try to localize the configuration that I was showing you before in models with non-compact, actually, models in compact Calabi-Yau with non-compact, non-compact models in non-compact Calabi-Yau with compact 3 cycles. So you can still localize this kind of models in local configurations, of course, because your street scale there, you know, actually your extra dimension can go large, so it can be infinite, so it's more or less local configurations. But in this case, actually we can try to see if actually we can do the same thing with models in the same brains and throats. And actually this is a future project and which actually I'm working on. And actually this rapid throat is actually the implementation of Klebanov-Strass mechanism and in models with fluxes and Joe and Steven will be working here. So that's it.